A good devach. Today's daf is Ksuvas daf Sadi Dalad. Ksuvas Sadi Dalad. We left off. Actually, we read the Mishnah right at the bottom of Sadi Gimel Beis. We're going to pick it up. We're going to go over the Mishnah quickly inside. The goal today is to cover Mirat Hashem today's daf and to actually cover part of tomorrow's daf. So like this, maybe we can cover between today and tomorrow morning's share. Maybe we can cover the first day of Yontif, first day of Sukkot's share. Zak the Mishnah again. We're starting again Sadi Gimel Mabez at the Mishnah, bottom third of the page. Misha Nasle Dal Nashim. Person was married to four women. And then the fellow dies. Her Rishana Kadamas Lashnia, the first, the whichever she married first, her Ksuv is dated first. She has first rights to the Nechasim. She goes before the second. Shnia Lashlisha, second goes before the third. Shlisha Zervius, third goes before the fourth. And of course, the Shlisha Zervius, sorry, the third goes before the fourth. And they all, they collect in that. In that order. Now, explains the Mishnah. Rishay Nishbas Lashnia. The first one has to swear to the second one. Actually, before we even go further and explain the Mishnah, a key point over here. This that we're saying the first goes before the second before the third before the fourth, is all going where these assets were in the possession of the husband before the first marriage. So these assets were meshubed by the first. She had rights to it first. Then if there's anything extra, goes to the second. Anything extra goes to the third. Anything extra goes to the fourth. But if the assets only came into the husband's possession after he was married to all four, then the fact that one shtar was dated earlier wouldn't make a difference because these assets became equally meshubed to all four women at once. So key point is, we're talking about a case where we're talking about assets that were there from before any of the marriages. Okay. Now, says the Mishnah, that when they come to collect, the first one she collects, she has to make a shvuah to the second one. The shniya, when she collects, she has to make a shvuah to the third one. What are they swearing? They're swearing that they haven't collected some other monies. The husband hasn't paid them other monies, and therefore they're entitled to collect what they're collecting. First one swears to the second because her shvuah, her collecting, is directly affecting the second one's ability to collect, and the second one to the third because her collecting is affecting the third one's ability, and so on and so forth. Says the Mishnah, ushlishis. The Ravias, and the third one swears to the fourth one. For Ravias, the fresh Abishua, but the fourth one doesn't make sure because her collecting doesn't affect anybody. Banana summer? No. Because she's last, she should get off the hook scot-free. Rather, Afila to Parallel Shvua, she also has to make Shvua. Gemara is right away and explain what's that machlaik is the logic is not a common. It's very straightforward. There's no one for her to swear to. Why would she have to swear? So we'll have to explain what's and bananas, why bananas is obligating the fourth woman to make a Shvua. Now, the truth, I think someone may have raised the question when we learned this Mishnah on Erev Shabbos that, Mechaira, if there's kids around, yeah, they don't have to swear to each other, but ain't if from. From the chasim, you can't take money from the chasim, even the isha for ksuva. She can't take payment from the chasim of the asmi without a shvua. So there will be a discussion in the Gemara about that. And that's actually one of the halachim in the machlekes Tanakam and Bananas. When that halacha, does it apply even to ktanim? I'm sorry, only to ktanim? Or even to yisayim that are gedalim? Meaning, Tanakam held that only when you have Ketanim, do you have to swear before you collect from the assets of the estate? But if it's only if there's no ketanim there, even if there's gedolim, you don't have to swear. And bananas held no, even if the father husband left over adult children, the gabe the nichse of the father, they're considered ketanim, and therefore the woman would have to swear. And that's good for one. That's going to be abakshisha's malach in. That's going to be the malach. In this machlekes, Abaye is going to bring from Abaye Kshisha that malach in the machlekes the Mishnah. But the point is to get back to that question: the case according to the Tanakam, you don't have to swear. The case could be either that there's only older children, or there's no children at all. There's no children at all, and therefore that'll be the Tanakam's logic. You have to swear again. We have to explain in Benanis why is she swearing lechayre legabi the other wives at least. She's not causing them any loss. Now, one of the key points over here is the first to speak out. The Meiri, I believe, Rabbi Yaina, they speak out. The lechayre we're talking over here about a case where at the beginning of the collection process, it wasn't clear that there was enough assets to pay all the ksuvas. Because if there was, why is one swearing to two and two to three and three to four? One taking her ksuva is not affecting number two or three or four because there's plenty of money to pay them all. This that we're saying she has to swear is we're talking about a very big hachab ma'iskinan. We're talking about a case where at the time the one comes, number one comes to collect, as far as we know, there's only enough assets to pay for one ksuva. And then he discovered some more assets. And then two is able to collect, but she has to swear to three, because three is not going to be able to collect. And then they discover more assets. A very specific echdimtza, where they kept discovering assets in between the collection of one to two, two to three, and three to four. But if we knew there was enough assets from the beginning for them to collect, then again, the women wouldn't have to swear to each other. Forget about the assignment for a second. But they wouldn't have to swear to each other, because number one's right to get first is not really adversely affecting number two, because there's still more assets for number two, and so on and so forth. So it's a key point in the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah didn't speak it out, but the Rishonim didn't speak out, that a key point is, we're talking about where the assets were being, new assets were being found throughout this process. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Hayetzim Kulan. What if all the shtaris, all four ksuvas went out on the same day? So there's no ksuva predated the other one, but still, meaning on the calendar date, but within that day itself, the hourly times were taka different. Says the Mishnah, if any ksuva goes before the friend even by 1 hour, that one goes first. And Yishlayim taka straight choice in the shtaris kulam yaitzim shachas. But what if they all went out at the same time, or there's no time written in the ksuva itself? There's no hour, just the same date. And there's only one mana to split. Cholkas b'shava. They'll split it equally. They don't have to split each equally. Kind of like we had in the last Mishnah when there's three women coming to collect ksuva, and Rashi pointed out, we're talking about where the ksuvas and that Mishnah was all dated the same date. We said over there, they'll all split equally. No one has a right over the other because they all have the same date of shtar. One of the point in the Rishayin and the Miri again points out that, the other version bring a different answer, but we'll just point to the Miri's Malach, that why does the Mishnah have to speak about a case of four wives? Why couldn't we speak about a case of just two wives? That the first wife, when she collects, she has to swear to the second wife, period. And then the second wife collects either without a shvuah, according to Tanakama, or according to Bananas, also with a shvuah. But why are we even getting involved with three or four wives? Why is that relevant? So Miri says, very interesting, it's just for symmetry purposes. We start off Mishnah Nasi Beis Nashim. We start off with the Mishnah, a man is married to two wives. We then had in our prior Mishnah, a man was married to three wives. We needed the three for our mathematical equations, for all of our math conquests that we had in the last half on Friday. And now, for symmetry, we move to kids of four wives. But it says to me, very, very interesting, we're not really saying any major chiddush with the number four. It's rather just a build-up, a symmetry of the prior Mishnah. If this Mishnah, we actually go back to case of two. The next Mishnah is going back to smaller cases. But we went from two to three to four. Other Rishonim give different Malchim why we got to four, because the basic definition seemingly doesn't have an added chiddush by going to four women as opposed to even two, or certainly three. Okay, says the Gemara. What's Machlokes Tanakama and Bananas? Why is Tanakama saying the fourth woman does not have to swear? And really, the question is more so on Bananas. Why we understand why Tanakama says the fourth woman doesn't have to swear, because her collecting is not affecting anybody. Why is Bananas saying that the fourth woman does have to swear? That's really what's bothering us. Says Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Tapav Tzadi Dalet Amin Aleph. We're talking about a case where we found that one of the fields, it was found that after ladies 1, 2, 3 collected, we found that one of those fields did not really belong to the husband. They took a field that they thought belonged to the husband, and they gave it to her for ksuva, but it doesn't really belong to the husband. So the expectation is now, it wasn't taken away yet, but this expectation is whoever really belongs to will come and repossess it at some point, and therefore she's going to need a reimbursement of her ksuva, or she's going to lose out. And therefore, the fourth wife, when she's collecting this last piece of land, she's actually collecting it to the detriment, the assumed detriment of the one who's going to lose the prior ksuva that she already collected. And therefore, the fourth lady does have to swear. That is the Gemara's answer. That's why Bananas says she has to swear. And again, the Tanakhama maintains she still doesn't have to swear. The Gemara explains why. Machlokes Bananas and Tanakhama is, if a Balchayv comes later and collects, and he, let me say that better. A later Baal Chayv comes and collects before the prior Baal Chayv. So in our case, we have four Nashim with dated ksuvas. Each one's dated, one is before two is before four, three is before four. Let's say number four comes and collects before number two. She wasn't supposed to, but she did. Is she let it keep? Do we say what she collected is collected and she stays by her? Because she is a Baal Chayv, and therefore it's collected and collected. Do we say no? Since she wasn't supposed to, even if she collects, it goes back. That's the Machlokes over here. Meaning, Tanakama says, if number four collects before number two, it's not collected. So the number two can go repossess it from number four. And therefore, in our case, what was our case? We're saying a word got out that the field that number two got for Ksuva didn't really belong to the husband. And therefore, it's expected it'll be taken away. Let's say it gets taken away. According to Tanakama, not a problem. Even if number four went and took a Ksuva in the interim, number two can go to number four and repossess that ksuva from number four, because the Baal Chayv that's later, that when it cut the line, has to give the assets to the creditor that came before, and therefore number four has to give number two. So there's one second. Number four will have to give it back to number two, because number two is a prior Baal Chayv, is earlier in the chain, and therefore number four has no need to swear before collecting, because even if then the field gets taken away, even if we discover it to be true, that the field that number two took, taka didn't belong to the husband. Let's say it's discovered to be true, and the field gets repossessed. No problem. Number two will still come and get it for number four without any issue. And therefore, there's no need for number four to swear. However, Bananas over, Masha Gava. Bananas holds that no, the halacha is that if a Baal Chayv is out of order, even though he has a later dated shtar, His credit was later. If he does b'di'evet, if he collects, we have this machlokes in the Masechta. If he collects, then b'di'evet, what he collected is collected, and therefore number two will lose out. So number four has to swear before taking, because number four's taking will potentially negatively affect number two. Next answer, Amar or Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Avuah Tukulam Amashikav Legava. No, everyone agrees. So you'll like this Hirsch. Everyone agrees that if you cut the line, you go out of order. Everyone agrees you take it back. Everyone agrees you can't keep it. Right? Everyone agrees that's what Rav Nachman suggests in the Rav Avuah. Everyone agrees that you go back to the earlier creditor could remove from the later creditor. So what's the machlokes here? So why on earth should Bananas make the fourth woman swear if it turns out that the second collecting of Ksuva was an invalid collecting? So she will be entitled to go repossess it from the fourth. Says Gemara, machlokes is whether we're concerned that the number four is going to deplete, is going to use up, ruin the field, not tend to it properly. Meaning, once the rumors go out, that the ksuva, I keep saying the second, it's not daf, could be the first, second, or third. That the ksuva of the, that was collected by one of the earlier women, was actually a Brooklyn Bridge. It was a field that they footballed to the husband, but it didn't. So it's a matter of time till the right, true owner shows up and repossesses the field. Which means, if you hold that when a later creditor comes and usurps and takes before an early creditor, the earlier creditor can go now and take it back. So the fourth one knows it's a matter of time until the field's taken away from her. So what's she going to do? She's not going to invest money and try to keep the field in good standing and proper, because she knows it's a matter of time until it's taken away. So says the Gemara, that's the Shaila. Are we concerned that she's going to mamish, like let the field go to waste and let it be destroyed, or not? Tanakama says he's not concerned. Mar Savar, well, let's go opposite order. Mar Savar, Chashin Neshem Tachzif. Gemara first means Bananas. Bananas is concerned that she'll let the field go to waste. And therefore, this is a Pella. We're going to learn a simple Pshat, but the Rabban and other Shem have issues with this Pshat because major Chiddush. Therefore, what do we do? We make her swear. What does it have to make her swear? The din's still going to be the same. She's just swearing that she's really owed the money. She's owed the money. Now what? So she's swearing that she wasn't paid Ksuva. What does that help? By her swearing, we give her the impression that she's taking this field for keeps. And because she's taking the field for keeps, so she's going to watch it. And then, of course, it could be repossessed. If Taka, one of the earlier Ksuvas, get taken away, it could be repossessed. But at least by making her swear, she's going to properly tend to this field. That's Banana Shita. Umar Savar and Tanakama holds, Leichashin Shem Tachasav, we're not concerned in the first place. We're not concerned just because knows that her rights in this field are tentative, because someone may come take it away, doesn't mean she's going to let the field get destroyed, and therefore we don't have to be concerned enough to make a shvua. Again, Ramban's issue with this mahalach is, very simple issue, is, so you're making her swear, not because she really has to swear, but just to trick her? You're making her, now, it's not unheard of that the Isha should swear that she's owed the money. It's not unheard of that she makes a shvua, but we're saying over here, the sole purpose really is, just so she can kind of be tricked that she's going to be able to keep it, and therefore she'll protect it properly. Very interesting, or very uncommon to find, that you make an Isha make a Shvuah out of a trick in order to get her to watch her feel properly. That's the big issue that the Rishonim have with this simple Malach Bar Gemara. Okay. Says the Gemara further. And there's one point, actually, before we see the next answer. We actually already spoke out the next answer. Before we see it, just one point, going back on the first answer. First answer we said was, again, we already said two explanations of the Machlokes Bananas and Tanakama. Explanation number one is that when a Balchayev goes out of order, is he able to keep it or not? According to Tanakama, he can't keep it. And therefore, there's no need for number four to swear, because she'll have to give it back to the early one, whoever's owed that ksuva before her. Whereas according to Bananas, she's going to keep it, so she has to swear, because she's going to be keeping it at the expense of someone else. That was a Machlokes, again, between one explanation of the Machlokes between Bananas and Tanakama. The Gemara said, a second explanation, everyone agrees she can't keep it. Machlokes is whether or not we're scared she's going to mess up the field. But going back to that first Malach, so the Rishonim speak out that there's a fundamental difference when we talk about it earlier, back to your Rabbi Zal Tzvi was bothering you, back to this issue of going out of order with asset collections. This whole din of the earlier creditor has earlier rights and the later creditor doesn't, and therefore the earlier creditor can even take it away from the later creditor, according to one opinion at least, is all talking about karka. But when it comes to metaltalin, everyone agrees that a later creditor is able to keep any metaltalin he took prior, if he took it before an earlier creditor, that he's able to keep. There's no machlekes about that. There's certainly no machlekes about that. And therefore, says the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos on our din, Rambam points out that in a case where the fourth Isha was collecting metaltalin, if she's coming to collect metaltalin, only the net of karka. But she's coming to collect metaltalin, which is, again, you have to know exactly how she got metaltalin. Metaltalin has to be mishabdi. You have to know maybe there was debt set aside for ksuvas. But whatever the case is, that she's collecting metaltalin, in that scenario, everyone would agree she would have to swear. Even Tanakam would have to agree she has to swear, because in that case, taka, what she's collecting, would certainly adversely affect any of the early ishas, even if they've already gotten that ksuva. But in the case, we're talking about a case where one of the collections were called into question, and therefore she would have to swear, number four, even according to Tanakama. That is interesting. Chiddush from, again, it's brought down in a few places, brought down from the Rambam, Pish Mashiach, it's brought down also from, based on Rav Shri Rigoyin, brought in the Rif. Okay, answer number three. By Amr, what's the machlokes between banana and tanakama? Abay kshisha kavanah machlokes is the din of abay kshisha. We spoke this is what we plugged into the Mishnah. We read the Mishnah. Itani abay kshisha, the elder abay taught. Yisayim shamru. When we talk about Yisayim, that whenever a woman or a creditor collects money from an estate with Yisayim, we say they have to swear. Is talking even by gedolim. Veinsech lamiktanim. It's talking even by gedolim, and certainly by ketanim. When the Yisayim ketanim, the collector has to swear. Tanakama less by kshisha. Tanakama Mishnah disagrees by kshisha and holds only when there's Yisayim Ketanim you have to swear. But Yisayim Gedolim, you don't have to swear. And therefore Tanakama says the fourth woman, Taka, doesn't have to swear. And Benanis is laid by kshisha. Benanis holds like a by kshisha. And therefore the fourth woman has to swear. She has to swear not to the other women. The other woman already got the ksuvas. She has to swear because of the Yisayim, even the Yisayim Gedolim, cause her an obligation to swear. Amar Avuna. Hani Trei Achi Trei Shotvi. If you have two brothers, or that inherited together, or two partners, this will din b'hadichad, and a third party comes to do a din against them. So they're partners in a property, two partners, or two yarshim, they're partners in the property, and someone takes them to court, and he only takes one of them, and only one of them goes to court to fight this litigant, and he loses the case. The other partner, or the brother, can't say, he can't go and say to the third party, won the argument in court, you're not my brother, the argument was with you argued with my partner, not with me, and therefore, if you want to really collect the property, you have to come take me to court as well. So he wants you to take me to court a second time. He can't say that. Rather, it's considered shukhuzavit. The partner that went to court, or the brother went to court, is considered representing both of the partners, both of the brothers. That is a din that Rav Huna says. Why is this coming up here? It seems to be no shaykhus, because they're going to try to bring a right to this din from our Mishnah. Iklav Nachman, Surah Nachman came to Surah, Shailei. The people in Surah asked him, you have two partners, and one of them went to court, and the other one wasn't there, and the other one wants to argue the case again. Can he open up the case? Amr Nachman says, Masisini. We have a right from our Mishnah. What do we say in our Mishnah? Harishain, the first woman, she's supposed to the second woman. Ushni Lashisha, the second woman, supposed to the third woman. Shishavi, the third woman, says to the fourth woman. Now, the first woman didn't swear to the third woman. Second woman didn't swear to the fourth woman. Why is it okay that the first woman swear to the second, and that's it? L'chaira, it's a case of the two women, two, three, and four, are like partners against the first collecting, and when the first swears to the second, that's enough. So it's representative of the whole group. Same thing as over here. We view that the first one swearing to the second is the second one's like a shliach accepting the shuvah from the first. She's a shliach of woman number three and woman number four. So to over here, each one's a shliach upon her. The chayitz araya that you can't reopen the case that is considered representing the group. Says Gemara, not so fast. Me dummy. How could you compare? When the first woman swears, that shvua that she didn't collect the ksuva from anywhere else, that same shvua works for the first, for the second wife, for the third wife, for the fourth wife. That's the shvua that she made was, I have not received ksuva money in any other manner. That's a great shvua. That shvua is equal to all the other women as well. Hacha. Whereas over here, Amar, Ilo Anahave Taninitvei. Over here, the partner could say, yeah, but he didn't bring the right claims. I had different claims against you. It's a different story. We're not saying for sure the case should be able to be reopened, but you can't be reliant from a case that, from our Mishnah, where the first woman swears to the second, that's enough, because the same shvua she makes, all she's chayef to do is make a shvua. And that same exact shvua that she made for the first, it would be the same shvua to the second, third, and fourth. Whether they're there or not, doesn't make a difference. And therefore, a raya, it's not. Says Gemara, Flamar and Adla Isamasa. Gemara now says that according to the second tzad, the Gemara's deflection was that maybe the second guy could reopen the case, the partner could reopen the case, perhaps, says Gemara, and even in this argument that the second partner could reopen the case would only be Elad Leis Masi. He wasn't in the town when the court case was being judged, and therefore he has a taina that you did a court case without me, and he can maybe reopen it. Al Isav Masa, if he was in town and he didn't show up, Ibai Lamese, he can't. That's a trick he could play. He's in town. He didn't go to court, hoping his partner would win. If his partner loses, he'll reopen the case. No. If he's in town, he has to go. He has to go to the court and argue his case. And if he didn't, then he was as if he was accepted to be represented by his partner, and then the court case cannot be reopened. Okay, Itmar. This is again going to be related to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah in the end, the latter part of the Mishnah said, if all four ksuvos were dated the same date, and none of them precedes the other, not in date, not in time, then they split equally. So based on that, the Gemara is going to open up a new conversation. Itmar. Shnei sharis ayetzim b'mechad. If you have two sharis that are ayetzim the same day, these aren't chayvis, these are sharis of, we'll call it mechira, or even gifts, let's call it gifts. So two sharis that Reuven gave the field to both Shimon and to Levi on the same day. And the question is, which one is first, which one's real? Rav Amar, Shimon and Levi both coming with claims on this field. Rav Amar Chulkin, Rav says he split it. They're both dated the same day, no star is greater than the other, split it. Shmuel Amar, Shudadaini, we've explained in the past, right? Shudadaini means either, the way Rashi learns the sugya pretty clearly, that the Beis Din tries to ascertain which one did the giver want to give it to more, and that's the one we give it to. Beis Din tries to, but we're not talking about clear rayas. If they had clear rayas, then of course they'd win. We're talking about non-halachic necessarily, not regular clear rayas, but Beis Din tries to use seichel and circumstantial evidence to prove, which we normally wouldn't use, but if over here you have no choice, you try to prove whose it is, and you let that one, you let who you'd rather give it to, I should say, and we say that one wins. The other Malach Shudaini is, whoever Beis Din sees fit. Whoever Beis Din is more in the mood, they like this guy better, they give it to that guy. They feel that this guy is better for him to have more money than another guy, they give it to that guy. It's whoever the Beis Din fits. That's the different Malachim and Shudaini. Now, the idea, the basic idea before we go further, is Rav saying we have no clue who she belongs to, and therefore we split it. And Shmuel is applying Shudaini, is really trying to apply that there's a possibility. We know it belongs to one. Pasha says it was given to one or the other, not to both. And therefore, if you split it, you're getting half right, but you're showing half wrong. By giving it to one, you at least have the possibility that you gave it to one of them correctly. Again, of course, that malach works better if you say Beis Din really truly tries to ascertain who the one that the guy wants to give it to is. Okay. Says Gemara. Leim Rav Dam Kamer, Dam Eide Chasim Karti. The Gemara wants to suggest the Machlekes Rav Shmuel is a famous Machlekes Rameir and Rabbi Eliezer in Gittin. Rav goes to Kamer who says the Edim who sign the get are the ones that make the karti, means they make the creases, they make the gechal. Shmuel top of veis, Dam Kabbalazar, Dam Eide Mesir Karti. And Shmuel is like Kabbalazar says that Eide Mesira Karti. The Eide Mesira is the ones that make the get. Now, before we go further, let's just understand what this means. By in Gittin, we know a get, of course, creates a chalais of separation, of creases between husband and wife. The shaila is it the Edom that sign of the get, they're the ones that make the get, and then of course the husband has to give the get, the wife has to receive the get. But the point is, what's giving the power, what's giving the electricity, what's giving the get the power to affect the divorce is the Edom signing on the shtar, that's her mayor. Whereas Rebbe says no. Rebbe actually holds, you don't even need Edom on the shtar. If you write a get without Edom on the get, as long as what makes the get is the presence of the Edom, to Edom being there when the get is given to the wife, that's what makes the get. The Rebbe himself speaks out, they come over there in Gittin. Why then do you have Edom on a get? Because in case the Edom is the Edom are there at the time of the transmission, those Edom eventually get lost or they die, they can't be found. So having Edom on the shtar itself gives it credibility that this taka was indeed a kosher get. But the real Edom that make the get are the Edom that are there at the giving over of the shtar. According to our mayor, the real Edom that make the shtar are the Edom on the shtar, the Edom on the get itself. So one wants to borrow that concept and apply it over here as well. Rav says the Edom on these shtars, they're the Edom, like our mayor, they make it. And therefore, since they're both written on the same day, it doesn't make a difference, even if we try to figure out which one was written first. Let's make a figure, it won't matter, because both of them are written on the same day. Both of them, the fact that there's Edom on the shtar says, that alone says that this guy, really, Reuven, gave this field or this whatever it is, this asset to Shimon or to Levi, and they have equal rights to it. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds that no, it's the Edom who are present by the giving over. That's what really makes it. And therefore, it's possible that one was, as long as we can ascertain which one was given over first, which one has Edom for the giving over, that's the key point. And therefore, we go to Shudadaini. That's what Moses suggests. Shmuel fits like a blazer, and Rameir Rav fits like Rameir. Says the Maratlite. Everyone agrees that can pass against Rabbi Elazar, the Eide Mesira guarantee, the Eide Mesira, the ones that make at least get to be passed there. Here, maybe it's not like that. Everyone agrees that Eide Mesira is what makes the Shadar. So what's Machalikas? You have a Kamifagi, Rav Serva Chaluka Adif, or Shmuel Serva Shadar Adif. Machalikas is kind of what we touched on before. Rav says it's better to Chaluka. Everyone agrees it's the Eide Mesira that make it, but we're not sure which one got it first, and therefore, since we're not sure, better just split it, but it's split it because we don't know. Split it. Where Shmuel says no, Shud Dain is a better option when we don't know what to do. Shud is a better option. Ask them for 1 second. I'm going to say Rav holds a Kerblazer. Aye, we have a proof that Rav doesn't want a Kerblazer. Why? If I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Who said the name of Rav himself? Halach Kerblazer, big Gittin. Like we kind of just slipped a moment ago that everyone passes like Kerblazer by Gittin, and Rav included. But look at the Lashon. Rav Yehuda Rav says Halach is like Kerblazer by Gittin. That Eide Mesira character is supposed to be a Chasima, right? But when they said the same statement, Rav Yehuda says, Rav Yehuda was a town of both Rav and Shmuel. And he said, when I went, I made this counter for the Shmuel. Shmuel says, why are you saying halachas like Rav Elazar by Gittin? Halachas like Rav Elazar by all shtaris. Amar af pshtaris. Halachas like Rav Elazar, not just by Gittin, by shtaris as well, that it's the Eide Mesira that make it. So Shmuel expanded the psak like Rav Elazar across the board. But what's the inference from there very clearly? Rav held halachas like Rav Elazar only by Gittin, not by other shtaris. We're talking over here about other shtaris, not by Gittin. Mechlal, the Rav Sabra shtaris light. We don't pasuk like Rav Elazar, other shtaris. We talk pasuk like a mayor. So the Gemara is saying our interpretation of the Mechlekes, our original interpretation, is not beautiful. You're deflecting and saying, no, both Rav and Shmuel agree to Rav Elazar. It's not true. We have a proof that Rav agrees to Rav Meir, Rav also like a mayor, that when it comes to other shtaris, we say a day chasimakai. The Gemara says, you're right. El Machver, to go back to your first Malach, Rav Kerb Meir, Shmuel Kerb Elazar. The first way to explain the Machlokes Rav Shmuel, when they say Chalukah Shud Daini, is that Rav goes like a Meir, and Shmuel goes like a Elazar, and that's why Shmuel says Shud Daini, whereas Rav says, you split it because both Shtaris are equally powerful, and you just split it because each recipient has an equal claim to it. That's the Malach number one. Meisve. Now we're going to ask Kashas on Shmuel. Now that I should say Malach number one, we've gone back to reconfirm our initial malach is the correct way. So now we're going to ask Shmuel. Shmuel is saying they say Shuda because we go like a Belezer and we say Eide Mesira Karti, and we're not sure who's the right one, and therefore the Bezin decides who to give it to. Ask more from a Brisa. Shnei Sharos Yatzim Mechad. If you have two Sharos that dated the same day, Chok and Alach is that the two recipients they split it. This is black and white like Rav. It's a Brisa not like Shmuel. What's the obvious answer? Shmuel said, no problem. Rav is like her mayor. That price, it goes like her mayor. I'm going with her Belazar. And therefore, it's not a problem. Answers the Gemara, indeed. Tifta Shmuel, Maris Kash, Tifta Shmuel. I'm like Shmuel. Hamani, your mayor. That price, it goes like her mayor. I know her mayor argues. Anadami, Ker Belazar. I go Ker Belazar. So as long as we have Tanaim to back us up, you find the price not like me, I'll just attribute it to our mayor, and we're fine. In fact, the Gemara, not so fast. You are mayor in the Seifa. Because if you can say that price is her mayor, look at the Seifa of that very same price. What if the owner of the property, he wrote a shtar to Reuven, he wrote it to Reuven, but he didn't actually give it to Reuven, and then he wrote a second shtar, and he gave it to Shimon first. Zesha must like Kaina. The one we wrote, gave it to first is going to win. They're going to be Kaina. Now, according to our mayor, it shouldn't work that way. Eide Chasim Makarti, it's already taking effect. The second it's written over with Eidim is taking effect. So the first one should have equal rights or better rights even than the second one, if anything. If you're a mayor, am I Kaina? Why is second person Kaina? I'm Eide Chasim Makarti. The fact that I was saying that the Mesira takes the cake and wins is a clear right that the price is going on Kerbalazar. And if the price is going on Kerbalazar, it's still saying in the ratio of the price. So we have two stars without any clear indication which one is first. We're still saying Yachleku. But according to Shmuel, he was saying that he goes for a blazer, and that's why he says, Shuda Daini, L'Chayr Shver, says Gemara, Yer Meir Maikana, Amar Eide Chasim Makarati, Gemara says, you're right. Tanayi, it must be that this conversation is Bechlau, in Machlekas Tanayim. Meaning, what Shmuel is saying is, we're going to bring a proof from Braisa that, yes, I hold that it's Shuda Daini. But even, and I hold the Kerbalazar, but even if you hold Nakar Meir, you feel the Kerbalazar, there's a Machlekas whether it's Shuda Daini or whether it's Yachleku. And this price, it goes like the other Tanaim. Where's the other Tanaim? Says the Mar. So it's interesting. We don't quote the price in its entirety. We bring the price from the middle. This is a price that quoted at length. The entire price is quoted in Masechtas Gittin. We're going to quote it from the middle, the Tanya. The case of here was that a person was given instructions from a fellow to give his friend money. So let's give some names. Reuven says to Shimon, Reuven says to Maisha, go give Shimon money. A gift. Maisha goes to Shimon to give the money. And he finds that Shimon never died. Shimon had passed on. So he wasn't sure if Reuven wants to give it to Shimon's children or not. So he goes back to check in with Reuven what he should do. Unfortunately, by the time he got back, Reuven passed on. Reuven was gone. Another shaila was, should this money go back to Reuven's Yerushim, or it should go to Shimon's Yerushim? The question really is, did Reuven want to give it to Shimon, and if not Shimon, to Shimon's Yerushim, or not? That's really the basis of the question. We don't know what to do. So the Gemara over there brings in the Braisa, we'll pick up in the middle, a few opinions of how the money should be divided. And here's already opinion, we'll call opinion, I don't know if it's number three, number four. The Gemara brings, the Chamayrim, and the Cham say, Yachloiku, split it. So this is a Shitas Chachamim that fits very well. In case we have no clue what to do, and there's no reason to believe to give to one over the other, we're saying Yachleiku. So this would be not like Shmuel. This would be a case of Tanayim clearly saying that he still do Yachleiku. And the next sheet is going to be like Shmuel. The Kanamru, and over here in Bava, we said Mashir Tzashlish Yasa. The Shlish, this in between guy, this guy is the trustee of the money. The Shliach, he could do whatever he sees fits. That's an idea that fits the truth of Daini. So the point is, Shmuel has Tanayim that back up his Psak of Shadaini. So yeah, the other Tanayim disagree. The price we quoted before that says Yachleiku would fit like the other Tanayim would disagree. But Shmuel himself goes to this Tanayim that says that we do Shudah Daini. Okay. Ime, story time. Ime Dor Merchama. Kasfinu L'nichsa Dor Merchama. But the story is very relevant to Shudah. Rami Mechama's mother wrote her nechassim, or a certain, either asset or assets. She wrote it and signed it and gave it to Rami Mechama. In the morning, the tzafra. Key point, it was in the morning, the tzafra. Lord, in the evening, kasvinu l'marak v'chama. In the evening, or towards the evening, she wrote the property, presumably it's the same day, because if it would be the next day, it would be pretty clear. On the same day, she wrote that same property to Marak v'chama. Obviously, her other son, Rami Rechama's brother. Asar Rami Rechama, Kabed Rav Shesh, Rami Rechama, Kabed Rav Shesh, Ok Menachas Rav Shesh said, you got it, it's yours, it belongs to you. Asar Marukva Kabed Rav Rechman, Marukva Kabed Rav Rechman, Ok Menachas Rav Rechman said, it belongs to you, Marukva. So you got a problem here. Rav Shesh's Paskins, it should go to Rami Rechama, and Rav Nachman Paskins should go to Marukva Rechama. Asar, so the two Paskins got together. Asar Rav Shesh's Kabed Rav Rechman, Rav Shesh's came to the Gadol Adar, to Rav Nachman, Amalei, my time of Marachi, why did Mar do this? Why did you give it to Marukva? Amalei, so Rav Nachman said, my time of Marachi, why did you do this? Why did you give it to Rami Mechama? Amalei, so Rav Shesh's back, to cut him, because I know that the his star was first, it preceded. Amalei, are we in Yishlaim where we write the hours in the shtaris? We don't have hours of shtaris over here. Once we don't write the hour in the shtar, each shtar is for today. Once it's for today, no shtar precedes the other, even if on paper, even if on the clock it did, was written before the other, but since they're both written for today, no shtar has power of one or the other. Okay, so says Rosh Hashanah is fine. So then maybe, why are you giving it to Marukva over Rami Chama? Good, Marukva is not considered to be second, but he definitely wasn't first. Elamar Maritam Avrachi, Amalei, so Nachman says, Shuda Zaini, like Shmuel. Nachman is ruling like Shmuel. I say Shuda, and I say the one that the mother liked better, the one that the mother truly wanted to give it to, would be Marukva. And therefore, I pass this go to Marukva. Amalei, so she's back, Rosh Hashanah is back. Okay, in that case, Ananami Shuda Zaini. I also said, Shuda. My psak also is based on the idea of Shuda. Amalei, Nachman says back, I got two problems with you. Chada Dana Dayan of my love Dayana. First of all, I'm an official judge, and you're not a Dayan. Meaning, Rav Nachman was appointed by the Reish Kalus as the judge. Rav Sheshes obviously was a Gadol, but he wasn't considered, at least maybe in comparison to Rav Nachman, he wasn't considered a judge, or he wasn't appointed by Reish Kalus as a judge. Figures Malachim of why he didn't have a status of a judge. But we're not going to say Deris, people that are much, if you're going to hold Shuda, they're certainly much lower level than Rav Sheshes, and still we're going to say Shuda. So I'm not saying a rule they can't say Shuda, but I guess Rav Nachman was saying at least it, with regard to the status of judge, I'm a judge, you're not a judge, you don't have that appointment, number one. But number two is, V'ayid me'kar la v'teres hachias la. Let's be honest, you were clear that you gave it not because of Shuda, you gave it to Rabbi Bechama because his was dated first. Once I explained to you that not dated, his was written first. Once I explained to you that because they're on the same date, being written first plays no role, then, and I gave it out Shuda, then you're also claiming Shuda, but it wasn't Shuda. So it wasn't Shuda, therefore, Marukva should be the one to get it. How do trade shtari also come into Rabbi Yosef? The two shtaris that came from Rabbi Yosef, Chana v'kasav b'chamish Nisan, one shtar said it was given on the 5th of Nisan. Clear date. V'chana v'kasav b'chamish Nisan Tama. And one shtar said it was given on Nisan itself. So you have two shtaris on the same property being sold, one for the 5th of Nisan and one for the month of Nisan. Look, Rabbi Yosef, v'chamish b'nisan b'nachasam. Rabbi Yosef said the one who has the date of the 5th of Nisan, he should get it. Why? Because the one who just has Nisan, it's not clear, maybe his maybe it was the end of the month. I mean, of course, it could maybe the beginning also, but maybe the end, not clear enough. And therefore, the fifth wins out. It's more clear. Amar idach, v'an afset, should I lose? Amar Beis says, ad yad chatotayna, yeah, you're yaz atotayna, because aim bar esav tisha b'nisanat, because I can say that your rights to claim is only as late as the 29th of Nisan. First, we discuss why you pick 29th over 30. Okay, but the 29th of Nisan is your every month is 29, not every month is 30, that's perhaps why, but okay, but yours is as late as the 29th, and therefore the 5th is very, very possibly, very likely, predating yours, and therefore he wins out. Okay, Amalei, so this fellow who has a shtar for the 29th, to be clear, both of these people bought their field, again, they were sold, two people sold the same field, they bought it with an achrayas. So Amalei, so he said to Beisiv, v'nichtav limar, at least write for me a shtar, top of Tzadiyam and Alf, a Tirfa Meir Ve'eluch. That certainly, even if you're saying Mashtar, it says Nisan. And Nisan could be the last day of Nisan. So from here on, meaning any field that the seller sells to someone else from here on, I have a right to go reclaim that field because I paid for a different field. I have a right to claim that at least. Tirfa Meir Ve'eluch, write me a Shtar that I'm able to seize any field that goes from here on. Amar Lei, somebody says, no, you actually messed up. I can't do that either for you. Why? Because the purchaser of the field after year can tell you, you know, my baldover, your star says Nisan. Maybe it's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dal, Nisan, and you're before the other guy. You should be dealing with him. Don't deal with me. At Parchad, Nisanat, you're Chaber Nisan. Don't come to me. Go to that guy. And therefore, I can't write you as a star to seize property after year as well. Says, well, what's the Eitzah? There's an Eitzah. Maita Kante. Nirtav Rashal Adadi. They should write our shot to one another. Meaning, the guy who has the guy who had the star dated the 5th of Nisan, he keeps the field. But he should write a shtar shah, a power of attorney, because whether it's him or whether it's the other guy, they're both entitled to a field, and they both have rights over the person from Ir. So the fellow who has the shtar dated for the 5th day of Nisan, he loses nothing, he keeps the field. And he loses nothing by writing a power of attorney over to the fellow who has a shtar dated for Stam Nisan, and now that fellow who has a shtar dated for Stam Nisan can go to the person who gets anything in Ir and says, I have a right to collect before you, I have a right to take your field, because I'm owed. What's the guy going to say? No, your shtar is before the other guy for the 5th. He pulls out the shtar hashah, the power of attorney, and says, that guy is giving me right to collect on his behalf as well. So whether it's me, whether it's him, we have a right to collect from you, and that would take a work to save this fellow with the shtar with the date of Nisan without any specific date. Zog the Mishnah. I know we're on Sunday's daf. I'm purposely trying to get ahead so we can cover the first day of Yom Tov. A man was married to two wives. And he sold his field. A man's married to two wives. And his field's obviously meshubah to the ksuvas. And he sold his field. And the wife he married first, who has the first rights of claim, wrote to the lekeach, didn't dvarim ein limach. I have no claim against you over this field. Now, the first point that's very important for the cheshbon of the Mishnah, she didn't agree. She wasn't waiving her rights to the ksuva b'chlau. She was simply, and she a safe matter. She wasn't waiving her rights to this field for the ksuva. She still wants the field for ksuva. She's just waiving her rights to take this buyer to court to take away to have a lien to take away the field from this buyer. We'll see the relevance in a second. She's just waiving her rights to take away from this buyer. But let's say the field will be by someone else. Let's say the buyer goes and subsequently passes it off to someone else. She is retaining the right to get that field for ksuva. She wasn't relinquishing her right to get the ksuva for sure or not. And I have the rights to get this field for ksuva. Just the rights to take it from this buyer. Okay. Says the Mishnah, the din is as follows. Hashniya meitz melekeach. The second wife, let's say the husband dies, and he's not enough money for ksuva, the second wife can go take it from the lekeach. The first wife cannot, because she already relinquished her rights to take it from the lekeach. But the second wife didn't relinquish her rights, she can take it from the lekeach. But once the second wife has it, you know what the first wife says? I go first. She takes it from the first wife. She takes it from the second wife. So shniya meitz melekeach, her shayna min hashniya, the first wife then takes it from the second wife, and the lekeach says, 1 second, that's the field that I had. You first wife, you said, you're not taking from me. Halekeach, menor yishayna. Lekeach goes and takes back from the first wife. You're going in a circle. For chazeres chalila, they keep going in circles. Achias, it's a big discussion. The first thing I should point out, you don't actually go to court and let them even get into these circles. The court's not busy with these shenanigans. But if theoretically she could keep going in circles, achias a pshara b'neim, until they reach a pshara, how to divide it? Because it's going to keep staying by no one, each one, right? The second Isha could take it from the Lekeach. The first Isha could take it from the second Isha. The Lekeach could take it back from the first Isha. It's keep going in circles until they make some sort of Pshara. V'chein, the same Bachelor will apply by Abba Chayv. V'chein, Isha, Baal Chayv. And the same Bachelor will apply by Isha, Baal Chayv. That's the thing the Gemara is going to explain it at the very end. Right at the very end, the last words of the parak. This is the last half of the parak. At the very end of the parak, the Gemara is going to explain those last two cases of the Mishnah. Same idea of a situation of going in a circle. Says Gemara. What does it help when she writes this wife number one writes to Lekeach that I'm not taking any rights. I'm relinquishing my rights from taking away from you. What does that help? For a time went to the Brisa, says his friends, we had this a little less than 2 weeks ago. If a guy says, I have no dinner on this field, I have no business with it, my hand is removed from it. Halacha is, if he has an ownership, he's a partner, and he owns the field, and he's saying he doesn't own it. It's not true he does own it. If he gives it away as a gift, if he's mocked it, if he's mafkrit, that could work. But if he just says, I have nothing to do with it, it's not true. Lamer Klum, he didn't say anything. He didn't actually give anything away. So to this Isha, all she's saying is, I have no dina dvarim. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have a claim on this. Else, you have a shiba to your ksuva. So what does it help to say dina dvarim? Says Gemar Hachmai Eskinan, Bishkan Miyad. Like the Gemara said over there, back on Pegimel was. The Gemara says, in a case where we make a kinyan, then it works. So to over here, Bishkan Miyad, we're talking about a case where the Lekeach did an act of kinyan with the woman. He did a maisa kinyan to take away. She was makner away her rights to the lien from this Lekeach. She says, I'm not going to take away from you, from my ksuva, the lien I have on this field. And they did an act of kinyan. Ask the Gemara, not so fast. So the Gemara is assuming when she does an act of kinyan, that for sure works. Says the Gemara, what does it help that he did an act of kinyan? Why can't she afterwards claim, I did it to make my husband happy? My husband's selling a field. You know, it doesn't look good if I have a sheba on this field. So in order to make the transaction look good, I did it, but I didn't really mean it. I did nachas ruach. I did it to make my husband happy, but I didn't really mean it. Mila tanan. And we have such a concept. We learned the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah again in Gittin. Again in over there in the nuns over there in Daf Nun Hey. Mila tanan. Lakach ben ish v'chazar v'lakach ben isha. If a person buys something from the husband, the property for the husband, and then he goes and buys it from the wife also, I mean, he gets her consent, her agreement to the purchase. So therefore, you want to say it's a full mekach. The husband's selling possessions that belong to both, that the wife brought into the marriage. So you want to say, or b'cham, that I'm a shubit or ksuva. So you want to say that no longer is it going to be a shubit because she also agreed to the sale. The halach is mekach batal. The mekach is batal. Why? Al mechalish temer, nachas ruach asis labali. Because she could say, nah, I was doing it only for nachas ruach. I didn't really mean it. I was only doing it because I want to make my son happy. So we see there's a concept. Even her agreement is not a real agreement. We say that that's a Mishnah Gittin. So why is our Mishnah seeming to forget about this idea? Again, our Gemara wants to know what's the case that the woman gave up her rights. She said the Lashon Mishnah was dinah dvarim, that I don't have rights to take back this from this person. Like, yeah. Gemara said that can't be because dinah dvarim means nothing. Gemara says you're right. She cut him out that she made a kinyan. Gemara says still, our Mishnah seems to be accepting that a kinyan that she made with the buyer to relinquish her rights is a good kinyan. The Gemara in Gittin says it's not a good kinyan because she could say, Nachas ruach asis labali, I was just trying to make my husband happy. Says Gemara, Amar Vizera, Amar Chizlai Kasha. Saka Machlaikis again, second time today. It's Machlaikis, actually not, this is Rameir and Behuda, before we had Rameir and Abelazar. Says Gemara, Lekasha, Harameir, Harabehuda, Machlaikis Rameir and Behuda over there in between our Mishnah over here is Remeir, and the Mishnah in Gittin over there is the Shita of Rebbe. The Mar explains, the time with the Raisa, if a husband writes off a shtar, selling a field to a first person, and the wife didn't sign off on it. She didn't sign off on an agreement. And then he sold off a second field to another buyer, and she signs off on the second one. Halachas ibdik suvasa. She's lost her ksuva. Meaning, now that, let's say, the husband gave up, they only had two fields, and she gave up, she agreed to sell to the second buyer. She actually lost her rights in both fields. Why? Simple math. Why? Because the second field, she agreed the husband can get rid of. She agreed the husband can sell it, and her sheba should be gone. Her ksuva, sheba should be gone for that field. Elamai, what you going to do? Go back to the first field. The one who bought the first field says, no, you can't come to me. When I bought the first field, your husband had other fields that were there to pay your ksuva. He still had other fields remaining to pay the ksuva. So I'm not meshubit. I don't have to give back my field because you had someone else to collect from. You then were meichel the sheba to that field. That's your problem. That's not my problem. And therefore, she's lost her rights to go to any of the fields for ksuva. That's her Meir Shita. Point is, we're clearly not saying any idea of nachas ruach asis labali. Clearly, we're saying she means it. The kinyan is chal, and she means it. That's similar to our Mishnah by us. Rameir would be the author of our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah further. Says the Brisa further. No, yichel shteimer. She could say nah nachas ruach asis labali. She could say when she signed off on the second field, she was just doing a nachas ruach for the husband. What are you telling me that I signed off on? I didn't really sign off on it, and she has rights to go back and collect the fields. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda holds Nachas Ruach Sabali, he's the author of the Mishnah in Gittin. So the Gittin, the Mishnah Stamazay goes like Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah goes like a mayor, says the Gemara of Rabbi, and Rabbi who redacted the Mishnah. Yes, Sasma Hachgar at Mayor. Over here, he says, teaches the Stamish like a mayor. Fasafa Sasma Hachgar at Yehuda. It's not usual, but over here, he taught a Stamish like a mayor, and over there, he taught a Stamish like Rabbi Yehuda. Amra, but that's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Papa, Amar Papa. No, Begrusha. I'm just talking about a case of grusha. For divrei hakol, nachas ruchas is labali only works when they're married. If they're divorced, she wouldn't be doing nachas ruchas labala. So if they already had been divorced, and she was still meichel the shibud to this buyer, she's not doing nachas ruchas labala. So hachamai askin in our case, she's a grusha, and therefore she means it. Everyone agrees over there at the Kenyan's chal. Meaning, we're going to say that really, Rebbe holds, we pass like our mayor, that we say, pass like Rebbe Huda, and we say, Nachas Ruach Aslabali, like the mayor in Gittin, like the Mishnah in Gittin. Over here, we know why it works, because we're talking about a Grusha doesn't have to claim a Nachas Ruach Aslabali. That is answer number two. Answer number three, Rashi Amar. Kula Mary, both our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Gittin are a mayor. Our Mishnah says that the Kenyan that she gives to the buyer, that her lien is not a lien, works, and the Mishnah in Gittin says that it doesn't work, and she can still collect, they're both going like a mayor. Ramir over there only said in the Braisa that we say we don't apply Nachas Ruach Aslabali, because think about what happened. Husband sold field number one and she didn't say anything. And then field number two and she said something. So the fact that she didn't say by number one and said by number two, by number one she was quiet. By number two, she agreed to sell. So over there, you don't have a svara of Nachas Ruach Aslabali, because if it's Nachas Ruach Aslabali, why don't you do by the first one? Says Gemara. If you're someone that does nachas ruach for the husband, you should have done to the first one as well. Obviously, you meant it. And that's why over there Ramir says that the kinyan is a full kinyan. But in Gittin, in the Mishnah Gittin, we're talking about one lekech. The fact that she said something, Ramir's maida to Rebbe Huda, there's a concept of the fact that she was quiet or not. Let me be clear. In Gittin, the fact that she signed off on the sale and she agreed doesn't mean she really agrees. Maybe Rameir agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that we say she has a claim of Nachas Ruach Zabali. I didn't really mean it. That we say Nachas Ruach Zabali. Our Mishnah. We seem to be saying that her agreement is a good agreement. So we have to say again, in our Mishnah, where this wasn't the first time the husband wrote a shtar to a buyer. He had written a shtar to an earlier buyer, and she was quiet, she didn't say anything. And then he wrote it to the second buyer, that's where Mishnah picks up. Our Mishnah picks up from a case where it's the second buyer, and she agrees, and she goes and says, yeah, I'm being makna also. So over there, you have Ramir's taina that we said in the Braisa, which is, if you're doing Nachas Ruach, you should have done it earlier as well. The fact that we did it now shows that you're serious about this, and therefore you can't claim later, Nachas Ruach Aslabali. So let's go a little further, we're not going to finish the Daf. We'll get to that, we'll at least finish Amun Aleph, and leave the rest of Amun Aleph on the base, and the next Daf for tomorrow. Says Martanasam, Ein Afar Ruchas Mishabad. We looked over there, in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah, again, in Gittin, this is Daf Mem, Ches in Gittin. You cannot collect from Nuchas Meshbadim, but Makam Shesh Nuchas Mechayrin, Afi and Ziburis. Halacha is that even though a creditor is entitled to Beinonis, you don't go to Nuchas Meshbadim unless there's nothing by the debtor. If the debtor has his own assets that are in his possession still, the creditor has to collect from there first before going to the Lekuchas, to the Meshbadim. Even if what the debtor has is Ziburis and not Beinonis, still, he has to take from the creditor, has to take from the Zeburis, and not go to the Beinus. Okay. Ivoilu. Ishtaduf b'nei chari, maldalach of mishabdi. What happens now? Let's say there were properties by the debtor. So the kuchas bore properties. Left Zeburis even, by the debtor. And now the credit is supposed to go for these properties, but the properties got totally destroyed. They become totally ruined, totally useless. Does the creditor have a right now to go to the Lekuchas? Malutafi Mishabdi. Could they go now to the Lekuchas and collect? Meaning, do we say that since Bishas Lekuchas bought the property, there was stuff left by the debtor, so it's not Meshubah Bechlal, there's no Shibud Bechlal, and therefore the creditors cannot come to collect? Or do we say no? Since it was purchased after the debt went into effect, even though there were assets, there is a concept that assets can get destroyed, can get ruined, and can be useless, and therefore there's still a shibud on the lekuchas. That's the shayla. Says the Gemara, Tashima, cost of the rishon, we have in the Braisa. If the husband writes a shtar to one buyer, and the wife didn't sign off on it in her agreement, this is the Braisa we just quoted a few lines ago, and he then writes a shtar to a second buyer, and she signs off on it. She agrees to that one. She seconds to the second buyer. She agrees to it. The halacha is if the ksuva lasa dira meir. Meir says she loses the ksuva. Why? Because since she agreed to the second one is where she would have collected the ksuva from. The first one could say, I left you something to collect from the second one. And she now agreed to absolve the second one from any shibud, so she lost out. She has no rights to the ksuva. She can't go to any lekuchas. Visa that the shtar b'nei chari, possesses more if you hold that when the b'nei charim get destroyed. You let it go back to the mishabadim, tar mishabdi, so he did the ksuva smasheni. Yeah, she got rid of her ability to collect from the second one. Mirisha b'nei let it go back to the first one to collect. Says the Gemara, right? This would be her giving up her rights to collect from the second. Is the Gemara's comparing it to be tantamount? The Gemara's comparing it to a case where it got totally destroyed and it can't be used for collection, and therefore go to the earlier lekuchas. Amar Nachman Ritzak, Renach Mitzvah says, you're right. My Ibda Mishani. Ibda Taka just means your mayor says she can't cook from Shani. Big Kiddush in the Taich. She can't cook from Shani, but she cook like from Mishan. That's what Rav Nachman wants to suggest. Says Gemara, Amarava. Shtetiv is Bedever. I have two problems with your suggestion. Chadad Ibda Lagami mash the word. Ibda's Mashma. She totally uses it. It's not Mashma. She loses only a second. Viyayid, Tanya Mimutra Baisa. Love Menachan Machan Chasma Shayim. If a person borrows from one creditor and then sells his property to two different people, because Bachayv Lekech Shani and the Bachayv, the creditor writes the second one. Din Ivram Ein Li Mecha. I'm not going to come against you. Ein Loi Alekech Rishon Klum. Meshech Lemer Nachan Lechamakam Ligvais Memenu. He can't go back to the first one either. Why? Because the first one says, the same time as the first buyer by the Ksuva, says, I left you a place to collect from, and you relinquished it. That's your loss. You can't go to me. You have to go back to the one that I left you. You can't get from him because you were Meichlet. That's your problem. You can't go to me. So over here, it seems clear that by the case where, when she lost a ksuva, we're saying that she lost a ksuva totally. She can't get from the second or from the first. Just like in that case, she can't get second or the first. So the chayra, your answer, your deflection, is not a good deflection. And the chayra, at this point, we have a good raya. We're saying that in a case where the mishabadim get lost, you still can't go back to an earlier claimant. You have no claim on the earlier lekuchas. Says the Gemara, Hasam. However, it's not clear to me if this is Rava continuing or the Gemara making a chilek. This is the obvious chilek that we thought of right away. Hasam yud afsan avshay biyadayim. You can't compare. Over there, he caused the loss to himself biyadayim. Whereas in our case, where the property became destroyed on its own, maybe it's not a raya. Meaning, in a case where the Balchayv himself says to the second guy, I'm not going to collect from you, or the Bryce recorded, the Isha says to the second guy, I'm not going to collect from you, over there they can't go back to their earlier lekuchas because they're the ones that caused themselves to lose their shibud on the later stuff, and therefore the earlier buyer could say, go to the later. I left you Meichar to collect from. You are Meichar. That's your problem. But over here, where it gets destroyed, where the property that was free, that was not free, actually got destroyed, maybe the creditor would have a right to go back to the Lekuchas. So it's not a clear raya to our Shailas. So the Gemara is going to try to bring more rayas to the Shaila. We'll leave the further rayas for tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem. Have a good Tavach. Gvaldi, let's go further. Okay. Says Gemara next raya. Again, the Shaila is that Ruvain owed money to a creditor, called Mr. Creditor. Ruvain had nechassim. He sold two fields off, but he still had other nechassim to pay the creditor. So the creditor can't go to the buyers of Ruvain that bought his fields. However, if the nechassim that remained by Ruvain got destroyed, they got destroyed in some sort of hurricane, whatever it is, could the creditors now go to the buyers? Or the buyers say, we left nechassim by Ruvain, therefore he can't come to us. That's our shayla. Says Gemara, next raya. Top of Amaz. It's Maisim B'chol Yayim. That we say, you are allowed, the creditor is allowed to go when the properties get ruined to the buyers. A person, he pledged a paradise to his friend for 10 years. Basically, there was a loan, and the way to pay back the loan, he said, was, you're going to have rights to my paradise for 10 years. Each year, we'll pay for 10% of the debt, essentially. After 5 years, the vineyard dried up. It was no longer producing grapes. So what happened? Also come to Rabbanan, because of Tirfa. So he came to Rabbanan and said, I'm still owed half my debt. And Rabbanan said, yeah, because you're owed half your debt, you can go to the Lekuchas who bought after your loan, you can go to them and repossess the money for the other half of your debt. We see that it got destroyed, even though there was something left for the creditors to collect from. If it gets destroyed, they can go to the buyers and take away other stuff instead. It's a good riot to our Shaila. Gemara says, no. Over there, the buyers, Lekuchas, were mafsan themselves. Why? They knew when the original creditor, before they bought the field, they knew this guy's a creditor, and the creditor collected in as a payment this vineyard. And they knew, apparently, vineyards don't last forever. Vineyards, it's normal, it's common for them to get dried out. And therefore, they knew there was a risk involved. So when they bought it, so you can't say, "Oh, we left you somewhere else to collect from. You already had it. Yeah, you already had something which had a good chance it wasn't going to last." And therefore, they knew when they bought it there was risk involved, and therefore it's not a right to shaila. But the Mara says, bottom line is that the halacha is like we thought. Hilchos shtadif b'nechari tafer shabdi. Halacha is that if the mecharim do become ruined, they could go. The creditor could go to the mishabadim, and the mishabadim can't say, "Oh, we left somewhere else to collect from. Don't come to us." No, what you left got destroyed, and therefore they're allowed to collect. Amar Abayi. This is really a new discussion, but it relates back to our Mishnah. If a guy says to a woman, my property should go to you, but after you die, I'm giving it to you as a gift, but after you die, it should go to so-and-so. Now the question we'll see soon, the Gemara is going to say, ultimately, to be clear, we're talking about a woman that was single. She wasn't married. He says, it should go to you, and after you, it should go to so-and-so. Vamdavin says, she then went, well, you see the next words. Vamdavin says, she then got up and got married, and then she died. Now what happens? The husband inherits the wife. Baal lekechavi, the Baal is considered like a buyer. Vein lachrech bakam baal klum. And therefore, the other fellow will get nothing. Meaning, the same way when a guy says to a woman, or some person, I'm giving this to you as a gift, and whatever's left over after you die, should go to so-and-so. If the person who got it as a gift would go and sell it in the interim, then nothing's left over after they die. And the third party would get nothing. So here, the Isha, when she dies, her husband kind of gets it from her like keach, and there's nothing left over for the third person that the gifter had intended for it to go to. He gave it to her and said, after you to so-and-so, so-and-so will get nothing. Come on, who does go? Okay, Tana goes like the following Tana. The time we learned the Brisa. Nechas lefaychach lepayin. If guy says nechas to you and afterwards to so and so, you're to reach the machar. The first one goes and sells it. Has sheni meitz ben lekuchas. Rebbe says the second one could take with lekuchas because the guy clearly meant that after the first one should go to me. So the first one's sale is not a good sale. That's Rebbe Shita. That's not who we're going like. Obviously, Shigemila emer ain the sheni mash shayrisha. No, Shigemil says that when it was given to the first one and was said, whatever is left over goes to the second. It means literally whatever is left over. But if the first one sells it, nothing's left over, and therefore the second one gets nothing. So our din that we just said, Abaye's din, fits like Rav Shigemil. Kaman is not like Rebbe. Kaman is Rav Shigemil ben Gamliel. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Abaye Hachi, does Abaye really rule like this, like Rav Shigemil? Abaye himself famously the one that says, Amar Abaye, Ezer Rosh Arm, we use this lashon of Abaye multiple places in Shas. Wherever you give bad advice that you're giving advice to help someone at the expense of someone else. This is an example we always bring. Ezer Rosh Arm, who's considered a Rosh Arm, a cunning person who does evil. Zamai Seislim Kam Nechasim, a person who gives an Eitzah to the first recipient of this gift, that who's supposed to be giving the gift to after they're done with it, if they die, to the so and so, to the next party, someone gives an Eitzah to sell it. By selling it, they'll be able to kind of maximize and keep it and use it up all in their lifetime. But someone gives that Eitzah is a Rosh Arm because he's clearly going against what the real intent of the giver was. Says the Gemara, so the one who gives Eitzah Shigemil, that's a Rosh Arm. So I buy a passing the Shigemil and he calls someone who does like that a Rosh Arm. The Gemara says, yeah, meet Kamar Tina say, this is Kamar. Abaye wasn't saying that you should give an Eitzah for the person to sell it. In this case, the Eitzah would be that she should get married, and her getting married is equivalent, her husband now has rights to your assets, and then, therefore, it's like selling it. Abaye wasn't saying give you Eitzah to it. Abaye was saying that's the halacha. Abaye was saying the Shingle Meal, we paskin like him. It works. If the first party, the first recipient, goes and gives it off as a gift or sells it, it works, and then the so-and-so who's supposed to get it afterwards won't get anything. It works. But Abaye was still saying, and someone who gives it advice to do that is a Rasha. Abaye's not saying over here that it's advisable to do it. He was just saying it still works. It does work. And it all stems. We pass a shingle meal, but not that one should give an Eitzah to do that way. V'yamar Abaye, another ruling of Abaye. The same topic. If a guy says to a woman, my nechas should go to you, and after you to so-and-so, umachro mesa. She sold it, and then she died. Habal meis ben lekuchas. Her husband could take away from the kuchas. But now what's going to happen is that the person supposed to get it after her, he has a right to take it from the Baal. And once the Achrayach gets it, Lekeach goes to the Achrayach and says, I bought it. He could take it from that, because remember, the Lekeach goes before the Achrayach, goes before the so-and-so that comes after. And then we're going to leave all the property in the hands of Lekeach. So if here we're ruling that seems to be going in a gil in a circle, we say no, we ultimately leave it by the Lekeach. Ask the Gemara, why? Why over there we leave by the Lekeach? And why in our Mishnah do we have a case where it keeps going in a circle? It goes in a circle to make a Peshara, and over here we're saying says by the Lekeach. Gemara explains, because Hasam Islup say the Lekulu. In the case of our Mishnah, everyone's losing out, so they keep having claims, and because everyone's losing out, and they all have a claim of a loss, we ultimately have to reach a point where we split it, but no one's going to be able to, we're not going to save anyone, let them keep it, because no one has a stronger right to keep it over the other. They each equally are losing out. The two Ishas have ksuva claims, and the buyer has a claim, they paid money for it. Whereas, over here, only one person paid money. The fellow gave it as a gift to the wife, who died. She sold it, before she died, to the buyer. The buyer's the only one who paid money. Husband didn't pay money. The Achrayach who's supposed to get afterwards received it as a gift. The deceased wife does receive it as a gift. They all got it as a gift, and none of them paid money for it. The only one who paid money is Lekeach, says Gemara. Hacha Lekeach who is Lupsed, the only one is the lost Lekeach, and therefore it makes sense to leave it by Lekeach. In this chain of a circle, we leave it by Lekeach. Azar from our Mishmaita Kameder Vashi. Ephraim came and said this member in front of Vashi, Miyamar Abayachi, and he said, he asked, did Abaye really say this from Abaye? Abaye said elsewhere that what we quoted earlier, that if he says to a woman, gives the woman a gift and says, the chasam to you, and afterwards to so-and-so, and she went and got married, the Baal's lekech, and the achraich has nothing but makam the Baal, so why do you say that the achraich could take away from the Baal? Amalei, chasam dam lakishu pnuya. The first case, we kind of mentioned it before, we stressed it, she was a pnuya, she was single at the time that the fellow said this to the woman, that after she goes to so-and-so, and therefore she was totally unmarried. Halacha d'amar k'shina suah. Over here, talking about a case where she already was married. So when she already was married, my Carmela, what's he telling her? Achrayach likni ba'alei likni. In the first case, he told the single girl, after you so and so. The husband wasn't in the picture yet. So when the husband gets married, it's as if like the husband purchased it. He wasn't part of the giver wasn't precluding the husband. It wasn't part of his thought process. So the husband's no different than lekeach to an extent. And therefore, when the husband marries her, the husband gets rights, and the achrayach cannot take it from the husband. In our most recent case, she already was married. So when the gifter gives to her and says, I'm giving it to you, and after you to so and so, he's basically telling it to her, when he gave it to her, I'm giving it to her tonight, it doesn't go to your husband afterwards, it should go to so and so, and therefore that gets the husband out of the picture. The achrayach has the rights over the husband. That's the Gemara. My Carmelay, achrayach likely, baalay likely, the achrayach should be kind of, and not the baal, and therefore the achrayach can, yes, take it away from the baal. Says the Gemara, last words in the parak, we're coming to explain that in the Mishnah. This case of having a circular situation of it splitting, of going from person to person, could also apply by baal chayiv. Tana, what does it mean? The Brisa explains, let's just explain the Mishnah. V'chein baal chayiv u'shtei lekuchas. If you have baal chayiv and two lekuchas, let's just explain the case very, very quickly, very simply. Let's say you have a guy, Reuven lent Shimon $100, and Shimon had two fields. Each field was worth $50, and he sold each $50 field. He sold them each to two different buyers. He sold them to two buyers, each one for 50 zuz. Reuven went, here's how we have to connect to our Mishnah. Reuven went and said to the second buyer, I'm relinquishing my rights to collect. I'm relinquishing my rights to collect from you. But he's still able to collect from the first buyer. Now, again, key point, like we had before, we spoke about the Mishnah. When he relinquishes rights to collect from the second buyer, he didn't say, I'm relinquishing my right to this field. He just said, I'm relinquishing my right to collect from you, the second buyer. So now what happens is, Reuven goes and he collects from the first buyer. He collects $50, the $50 field, which is his right, of course. The first buyer then goes, Reuven can't collect from the second guy because he relinquishes his rights. The first buyer who's out his field, he bought before the second buyer, he goes and takes the field from the second buyer. Reuven goes back to the first buyer and says, well, I'm still $50. I'm taking that field from you too. And he takes it. The second buyer goes to Reuven and says, wait, you told me you're not going to repossess this field from me. That second field was mine. I'm taking it back. And that keeps going in a circle. It goes from the second buyer to the first buyer to Reuven to the second buyer to the first buyer to Reuven. Keeps going in a circle. That's the case of Chasuch Lila until they come to Peshara. And the same exact thing is going to be, V'chein Isha Baal Schaiv Ushtei Lekucha. Same story is going to be, instead of a regular creditor, Anisha, right? Anisha Baal Schaiv. This is really the same exact story, but instead of being a regular chayiv, it's ksuva, but same exact story, the ksuva with two purchasers, and again, she sold one of the purchasers, I'm not going to take it from you, and you keep going in a circle until they come to Peshara, just two more cases of going in a circle between three people, and they have to come to Peshara, otherwise, it'll be never ending. Hadron lach misha nasai, shkayev, we're learning Tshuva tonight, and Mitzvah, we'll learn Monday's daf tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful, have a good tovach.